This is According to Jim with Jim Joyner and Steve Sell, McPherson Sports Talk Show.
Let's do this thing!
Listen Monday through Friday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 96.7 FM KBBE or online at midkansasonline.com.
My grandmother's name was Giovanna Domenica Tabanero. When she'd get mad, she'd start spewing in Italian. I never knew what she was talking about.
According to Jim is your home for the McPherson Bullpups.
Ben Pyle with a monster jam! He says in your face, Derby!
College basketball.
Kemba Walker, step back! Walker, party at Kemba! Does it again! UConn wins at the buzzer!
Everything happening in the sports world.
LeBron James with no regard for human life!
And even some things not happening in the sports world.
I mean, they'd take one look at me and they'd say, next! Whatever happened to Ethel?
Now it's time for According to Jim. Here's Jim Joyner and Steve Sell.
Let's do this thing. Another edition of According to Jim on 96.7 FM KBBE or online worldwide at midkansasonline.com. I'm Jim Joyner, and joining me as always, the most popular man in McPherson, Steve Sell. Steve, you said in your Sell on Sports today, K-State is getting no respect.
No respect. Rodney.
But I think they're about to start getting some more respect.
Yeah.
What a game the Wildcats played last
night. Yeah, the Wildcats were fantastic. I watched that game. Barry Brown and Cartier-Jarre are developing into one of the best backcourts in the Big 12. So don't laugh at that. They really are. Barry Brown Jr. has really come alive offensively. We always knew he could score, but he's also a pretty good defender. And ever since Jarre got into the lineup due to the injury to Kamau Stokes, the Wildcats have only lost one game, and that was to KU. And that was a game they very well could have run had Barry Brown maybe not had a brain cramp or whatever happened at the end of the game. But I've said all along, if K-State can get any kind of play in the middle, they're a good team. And it's just odd because during that game, they showed Joey Brackets from ESPN.
And Lunardi, he's about to make his money.
Yeah, Joey Lunardi had K-State as one of the first four out, and yet they had Baylor like a seventh seed. And I said, you got to be kidding me. And then K-State goes into Baylor, basically dominates that game. The final was like 90-83, a seven-point differential. But K-State was up really – I mean, they had a healthy lead in that game. And a key road win. K-State now tied for second place in the loss column in the Big 12. Two games back at KU. Maybe one game after tonight, because I have a feeling Oklahoma is going to be in desperation mode. And I think they knock off the Jayhawks in Norman. I think Trey Young has got to be kind of doing a little soul searching after that 39-shot performance he had on Saturday. He kind of got ridiculed around the country. There were a lot of people made fun of him, and the ESPN guys were saying, hey, it's time for Lon Kruger to reel in Trey Young a little bit. And I got a feeling Oklahoma's going to play great tonight against KU. And if they do, that really throws the Big 12 race in the hullabaloo. KU would still be in the lead, but boy, there's a lot of people on their tail.
Well, I think that a lot of the Joe Lunardi, K-State sitting as a last four-in team, I think a lot of that stems from people not respecting their non-conference schedule.
Exactly.
And that has been the theme for the last couple of years with K-State, that they play, as Russell Westbrook would say, the cupcake schedule to begin.
Charmin tissue soft schedule.
And I'm not saying that it's a bad strategy, because there are years, and I've said this about Arkansas, being a fan of them, I've said this about other teams, that if you don't know what you're going to get from your team, if you're not a KU, if you're not a Kentucky, if you're not a Duke, sometimes you need to play a lighter schedule because you know what's coming with Big 12 play. And if you can get there at 12-1, 13-2, 13-0, if you can get there at about that spot, then you make a really good argument for yourself that if you play 500 basketball in conference play, then you will make the tournament. But K-State, I think their really only loss in non-con was to Arizona State.
Right.
And that was the game where they let Arizona State shoot like 78 free throws.
And they only lost by one, if I remember right.
And Arizona State has certainly cooled off, but they were the hot team for a while.
Yeah, beat
so
KU.
That was not a terrible loss. And you mentioned that KU game, that's K-State's only loss in this really good four or five game stretch. K-State could have won that game.
Oh, yeah.
I won't say they should have won, but they could have won that game. And if they would have won that, look at where they're at. They'd be in first place.
How much of it do you think is Bruce Weber? And, you know, he doesn't – nationally, he is not really highly regarded.
No.
Because, you know, he went to Illinois. He took Bill Self's players, made the national championship game, and then proceeded to just nosedive once he got his own players. Now, you know, he made the NCAA tournament last year as one of the Final Four in, and then the 2 years before that, they didn't make the tournament. How much you think is, you know, they say, eh, Bruce Weber, you know, nice guy, high voice, you know, look good in his white tinny. Look good in his tennies. I thought he looked good in his tennies last night. Of course, all the coaches were wearing tennis shoes last night. But Bruce, and you can ask K-State, you know, I've got a lot of K-State friends, and they're not high on Bruce
No.
Weber. But Bruce Weber's got a chance to shut up a lot of his critics right now, because I think K-State's onto something magical right now. I really do. And if Stokes ever comes back, they will have a terrific three-guard rotation. Now, I've heard that Stokes may have, you know, be out for the year, but they're just not saying it. That's just, you know, run-of-the-mill gossip that you hear. But Jara has just brought so much energy to their lineup. Barry Brown Jr. is just playing lights out. Dean Wade, and I put this in my column, and don't people say, oh, Dean Wade, St. John, Kansas.
You know he's from a
little
small town.
Yeah, he's from St. John, Kansas.
That's like 70 miles
west of
Manhattan.
Yeah, you know the announcers always have to make a big deal of that. But Dean Wade has the perfect NBA game. He could play the four. He's 6'10". He can shoot over defense. He can shoot the three. He's got a great free throw stroke. He's long. He can block shots. All Dean Wade has needed is to know that Dean Wade can play at this level. I don't think he's ever had that self-confidence that you know, he can really do it. But he is a top 50 player nationally. He's probably a top 35 player nationally.
When you talk about that confidence with Dean Wade, and I've watched a lot of him over his first two and two-thirds years of his career, and I think confidence is the word of the thing that he was sort of lacking a couple of times, where they gave him that last shot at KU a couple years ago in this V travel game. They have put a lot of trust and a lot of confidence in him, but I think he hasn't had it himself. But when you look at the way he's been playing these last four, five, six games.
Player of the week.
Man.
He was player of the week last week.
And he outbid Trae Young, who scored 48 points, and he's locked up every single award this year. But Dean Wade is the X factor. And you've been saying over and over again, he's an NBA type of talent. And every single time I watch him, I continue to think that a little bit more. He can shoot. He can dribble in and drive.
He can run.
He can pump that three, step in, and knock down an 18-footer. Dean Wade is this team's go guy. Now, Barry Brown has been scoring all the points, and he's been running in transition and scoring on a lot of fast breaks. But Dean Wade, to me, is the guy that makes this team go. And when you look at what they've done in their last four games, Dean Wade, Barry Brown, they've had a really good stretch here. And if they can keep this thing rolling, now they get out of conference play this week or this weekend when they do the Big 12 SEC Challenge and they take on the Georgia Bulldogs.
Mm-hmm.
And Georgia, they have been okay this year.
That's a game K-State should win, though.
And they're at home, too.
Yeah.
So they've been okay. K-State should
win. And see, that will be – if they can get that one, that's huge, because the SEC right now is regarded way up as far as the conference. They said that Joey Brackets has 8 SEC teams in, one behind the ACC, which has 9.
We talked about it the other day, how the conferences are weird this year and that it's probably not the Big 12 that's the best. And the comment that I made was, how can you say the Big 12 is the best when the worst team – or the best team, KU, people think is terrible.
Yeah.
So the SEC hasn't been this, like, outstanding conference, but every team in there has been pretty good.
And Kentucky's not even ranked right now.
Yeah, this is the first time they haven't been ranked in a long
time.
Yeah,
Kentucky is not even the power in the SEC. There's a lot of
– Alabama is really good.
The SEC's kind of like the Big 12. It's got a lot of really good teams, but – nobody really great. The ACC is where the real power is in college basketball this year.
The Tar Heels lost last night to Virginia Tech.
Yeah, and looked bad in doing it. They got hammered. Roy Looked a little haggard after that game. But
is he going to pass out again?
I hope not. You know, he's got that vertigo he always seems to deal with. But I still say Duke. When Duke is on their game, Duke is the best team in the country. And they all they've done is sign the top three high school players.
We didn't even get to talk about that yet.
Yeah, the three top three rated seniors in high school have signed with Duke for next year. My goodness.
Zion.
Yeah.
You think those students at Clemson that were sitting outside the basketball game the other night chanting, Zion, Zion.
Oh,
you think they're pretty bummed?
Well, you know, he'd kind of given the indication he was going to stay in state. And if you had your choice between Clemson and playing for Frank Martin at South Carolina, I think you know who you'd take.
Now, I don't even know Clemson's coach.
Frank's a great coach, but boy, who would want to play for him the way he
imagine Zion coming down the floor and getting ready for one of those big windmill dunks and then Frank yelling at him when he misses. That would be one heck of a show. Speaking of the SEC Big 12 Challenge, we didn't really get to talk about that yesterday either. I wanted to go through those games and look at them. Last year, KU played Kentucky in this game, and they played at Kentucky.
And won.
This year, then that was a game that I thought they had zero chance.
Yeah.
And this year, they already played Kentucky, and so it worked out well that they don't have to play them again. They played Texas A&M, and that game is in Lawrence. Now, A&M at the beginning of the year, they were looking like one of the best teams. Now, they're 13-6, and they're 2-5
cupcake
in the SEC.
Played that cupcake schedule.
So. They beat somebody good.
Yeah, but they, for the most part, I think they played a cupcake schedule.
They beat West Virginia.
They did.
They gave them their first loss.
Yeah, but West Virginia didn't look very good last night again.
God, they were bad.
West Virginia now with three losses, OU with three losses, K-State with three losses, Texas Tech with three losses. So there's four teams, two games back at KU, but that's why tonight's game is really important in the Big 12 race, because if KU wins on the road at OU, that means they have won at OU, they have won at West Virginia, they've also won two other road games. So KU would be, they won at TCU in Texas, I believe it was. So KU would be really sitting pretty already, being undefeated on the road. And that's where you win your conference, is how you do on the road, because you should win at home, you know, the majority of the time. But if you can go, you know, be undefeated on the road at almost the halfway point, that's just a tremendous feat.
We'll talk about KU taking on OU here in a couple of minutes. But the rest of the SEC Big 12, Oklahoma State is at Arkansas. Last year, Arkansas went to Oklahoma State. You know me, being my Arkansas, wearing my red. They played like the worst game I've ever seen in my life. So hopefully they can figure that out. Texas Tech is at South Carolina. Baylor at Florida. Ole Miss at Texas. Georgia at K-State, Oklahoma going to Alabama, and if Oklahoma loses tonight to KU, they might not beat Alabama. Alabama is a good team.
They've got a freshman named Sexton that is probably one of the top five freshmen in the country. He's a surefire one and done. He'll be a first round. He'll be a top 10 pick in the draft, that's for sure.
Kentucky at West Virginia, TCU at Vanderbilt, and Tennessee at Iowa
State. I want to see how those young freshmen from Kentucky handle that press of West Virginia.
Ew.
Their eyes could get big as saucers. And I think West Virginia beats Kentucky. I don't think I have great faith, even though West Virginia's not been playing well. That's the kind of game that'll get Javon Carter's juices flowing. And
he was bad last
night. And their big guy. I can't remember their big guy.
Sagaba Kanate.
He's a beast. So I think West Virginia gets Kentucky.
Before we dive into KU and OU coming up tonight, we'll also talk about McPherson at Newton on the boys' side. Wyatt Seidel, McPherson's All-State football player, signed with Fort Hays State.
He's announced, well, he's committed.
You think Coach Pav had a little pull there?
I'll tell you what, you're going to have to start calling Fort Hays State McPherson West.
Yeah.
Because there's quite a pipeline of McPherson athletes going to Fort Hays. And I'll tell you, Fort Hays is a fast-growing school out there in Hays, America. And, you know,
look at their football program right now.
They were top 10 football program. Their basketball team's pretty good. Their women's team's really good. And, of course, Kyler Kinneman, Peyton Stevens on their basketball team. Jared Ruth and Jack Reifschneider were on their football team this year. Cody Starkle on the baseball team. Wyatt, I'm not sure when his signing ceremony is. We've got one scheduled tomorrow for another sport, so I don't know if Wyatt's going to go ahead and do his tomorrow or not. I haven't heard for sure, but when he does, we'll have it at midkansasonline.com and with Shane Bacchus, always providing the photo with
here
his
we go.
Expertise with the camera.
I could see him being pretty good.
Oh, yeah, he's
cameraman.
Good. He's good, yeah.
Paparazzi Shane.
Yeah,
that's
he
what
is.
You need to start calling
you
him.
Bet.
Well, let's take a break. When we come back, we dive into the Jayhawks taking on the Oklahoma Sooners down in Norman tonight. You're listening to According to Jim on 96.7 FM KBBE.
You're listening to the According to Jim podcast with Jim Joyner and Steve Sell. According to Jim is brought to you by Great Plains Federal Credit Union and Four Seasons Realtors. You can also listen live Monday through Friday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 96.7 FM KBBE or online at midkansasonline.com.
We're back on today's According to Jim, 96.7 FM, KBBE, or for those of you listening online at midkansasonline.com. He's Steve Sell, I'm Jim Joyner. Steve, if somebody wants to go back and listen to this show on podcast,
why do you ask
that,
me?
They missed it today.
I'm in a different office. I'm in a different office today, so I'm really all I'm confused. I'm constantly confused. You know I'm a babbling idiot, so you might as well not even ask me. So I just leave that up to you.
SoundCloud.com/KBBE Sports. We just got done talking about the K-State Wildcats and their very impressive win on the road at Baylor last night. K-State is now 15-5 and 5-3, but sitting alone at the top of these Big 12 standings like we've been talking about all year, the Kansas Jayhawks. And Steve, with their game coming up against OU tonight, it really couldn't have come at a better time because OU struggling, West Virginia lost last night, Texas Tech got rocked over the weekend. All these teams that were sitting up there crowding around them are starting to fall. And if KU wins tonight and they get to create two games of separation between them and the pack, oh boy, it's over.
Well, I'm not
It's over.
Yeah, the problem for KU for me is they struggle so much at home. They're winning games, but they're, you know, they get big leads and then they fritter them away and, you know, I guess they're trying to keep the fans in the stands at the end. I don't know. But
don't want to blow anybody out. That's not fun.
Think,
sportsmanship.
I just think tonight Oklahoma gets it done. I set up just a little earlier. I think Trey Young's going to get his other guys involved tonight. Latin, the big man.
Who's his other guys? His left hand?
Yeah.
He's going to try and score with his feet?
Yeah. But I think he gets his other guys involved. And I think Latin, the big man.
Big Daddy.
Big Daddy Jr., gets it done against Adoka. I think he's going to give Adoka some trouble as a Bukwe in the middle for KU. I just think that don't be surprised if OU wins this game. This is going to be pretty bold, double digits. I think OU's going to win double digits tonight. KU's been teetering. They're coming off some emotional games. They're about due to have a crater game, and I think tonight's the crater game.
Well, I think that if there's a team that's going to play OU well, it's KU because
right.
They can score. Now, if KU is just awful from three, it might be a long night. But even the other night against West Virginia, they played a miserable first half. I mean, bad. They played terrible and still won.
I'm real curious to see what KU does defensively tonight because how can Devontae Graham play 40 minutes chasing around Trey Young? Do the Jayhawks maybe junk it up a little bit and go zone? Do they come out with LeGerald Vick maybe on Trey Young?
That might not be a bad matchup.
Because of his length? That might, you know, LeGerald Vick is very athletic, very quick, very long. He's 6'5", or Malik Newman. Now, see, I don't think Malik Newman can defend Trey Young. I think that's a mismatch. Malik Newman just doesn't seem explosive to me. Now, he had a great game and saved him against Baylor, but the explosiveness that you think he has, you just don't see it sometimes. I'm real curious to see what KU does because Devontae cannot play 40 minutes tonight. Now, Marcus Garrett is a very good defender. Maybe Marcus Garrett comes in. But Devontae Graham cannot play 40 minutes because he is right now, and you saw it in the Baylor game, he looked exhausted. And he's been playing 39, 40 minutes every game. That's why KU needs a blowout at couple of blowouts somewhere to get Devontae some rest, that's for sure.
When you look at what KU has done so far in Big 12 play, I heard a stat in the TCU-West Virginia game last night that TCU has lost five games, but it was by a combined like 16 points, 17
points.
Well,
two of them were to OU. Both games with OU, they had the game in the bag. And OU, Trey Young went crazy in the last couple of minutes of both games, and they end up beating TCU twice. TCU looked really good last night. I don't know where that TCU team's been, but it's been a while.
But KU has been sort of the opposite of that, that they beat Texas 92-86, beat TCU 88-84, beat Iowa State 83-78, K-State 73-72, West Virginia 71-66, Baylor 70-67. All these games are just so close. And you hit on it a second ago that this is a really hard pace to keep up and a really hard style to win consistently.
And we're not even at the halfway point yet of the conference schedule. That's why I worry about Devontae. Now, Bill Self's gone out and gotten him. He'll have three new guards coming in next year. Of course, Devontae will be gone. But the depth that, you know, he really needs is going to be there next year. He really needs it this year, and he doesn't have it this year.
Well, we haven't really been able to talk about the Billy Preston situation because that broke on Saturday morning, so we didn't get to hit on it last week. There were too many things that happened before we were able to get to this. But Billy Preston signed with a Bosnian team on Saturday morning, so he is no longer at KU. He said his goodbyes on Twitter.
Proud to be a Jayhawk forever.
The thing that I'm kind of sick of is seeing people blame the NCAA for this. Because the way it appears to me, KU just got caught. And
don't you think there's got to be something going on there? What Billy Preston would at least hung around. If he thought he was going to be cleared, he would have hung around. And I still think there was something in there.
There's something.
Billy's just a bad driver.
And he knew
too.
That, yeah, not a great driver. But when it comes to these types of situations, you know that every team is putting some money on the side. You know every team is doing something.
It's just if you get caught.
If you don't get caught, it's great.
Yeah.
But when you get caught, like Louisville, or you get caught, I can't think of another example off the top of my head, but when you get caught, you get caught. Yeah. And for Billy Preston to just walk away from this and it no longer be on KU's shoulders, they might be able to get out of this scot-free. Because they played this whole year without him.
Yeah.
And
so, it's like he was never even there.
Right. And so what I'm thinking is, KU might not get in any trouble for what could have happened.
I still think there needs to be an announcement made what the results of the investigation was. Because if it turns out a boot, you know, I still think they're going to, if it turns out a booster bought it, then something's going to happen to them. It'll be they might have one scholarship reduction or something like that for another year or something like that. But thank goodness they didn't play him, though.
Yeah.
And, you know.
And Bill Self is really smart about that all the time. And a lot of coaches are that they, well, number one, Bill Self probably knows the ramifications of what will likely happen if he is found guilty. And so he knows we better not play him because if he is, all those wins are stripped.
Well, and I'm of the belief Bill Self probably didn't know what was going on. He tries to, you know, I think he turns the other way on stuff like
Rick
that.
Rick Pitino didn't know about all that brothel stuff going on down at Louisville.
Yeah, but Rick Pitino. He
didn't know.
I'll tell you what, Rick needed to be out in Vegas or something. You know, that's where he needed to be coaching.
Vegas Rick.
Yeah.
Well, the other thing that I haven't really liked about this situation with Billy Preston is this argument of, okay, you shouldn't be getting any more one-and-done players. This is just a problem there. And that take is very outdated.
Yeah.
If you would have said this in 1995, you might have been correct. But the thing is, basketball has changed in college. Duke does it. North Carolina does it. Kentucky does it. Michigan State.
Well, how
if you want to compete, you have to do this.
How jealous of Coach K is Calipari. Calipari's the one that used to always get all the top one and duns, and now Coach K, the paragon of virtue, is, you know, he's getting them. He's got the top three players. I mean, these are three guys that could play in the NBA probably right now.
And the thing that is important with these one and duns, it's hard to win the way Kentucky does it, where they just get a group, bring them in, they leave. Get another group, bring them in, they leave. But where Duke can be successful, where KU can be successful, where North Carolina has been successful, you bring in a one and done or two a year, but you also have your core guys. Where you look at last year's KU team.
You bring in like some top 50, 48 type guys. They're going to be around 3 or 4 years, and then the one-and-dones complement those guys.
KU had a one-and-done last year, and he wasn't even the National Player of the Year.
Yeah.
Their senior was the National Player of the Year, right. Frank Mason. That's the way KU has to be successful, where you bring in a Josh Jackson to complement Frank Mason, to bring him in to complement a Devontae Graham, to bring these guys in. That's how you can win. And when you look back to that Duke 2015 National Championship team, that was a lot of the way that team was set up. Now, there's always the stat of no teams ever win the championship with one-and-done guys. They might not win the championship, but there's some really good teams. Kentucky, yeah. Their 38-0 team, 38-1, that was full of one-and-done guys.
Right, exactly.
You look at the team from Kentucky in 2012 that did win the national championship. Not a bad group of players.
Yeah.
You can win with these one-and-dones. Now, the teams that have been winning that championship, they have been typically a couple of one-and-dones, and then, well, they typically haven't had very many. Like Duke, or yeah, North Carolina last year, they did not have one. At least one that was playing, a big quality freshman. But to say KU shouldn't be having them anymore is an argument that is incorrect.
I'll buy that. I'll go with that. Yep.
Let's take our final break. When we come back, we'll talk about McPherson taking on Newton tonight in a boys-only game starting at 7 o'clock. You're listening to According to Jim on 96.7 FM KBBE.
You're listening to the According to Jim podcast with Jim Joyner and Steve Sell. According to Jim is brought to you by Great Plains Federal Credit Union and Four Seasons Realtors. You can also listen live Monday through Friday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 96.7 FM KBBE or online at midkansasonline.com.
Wrapping up today's According to Jim on 96.7 FM KBBE, Jim Joyner, Steve Sell, as we are sitting here on a Tuesday afternoon, boys game only tonight. And before or after this happens, it will be 2 weeks off for the boys.
Yeah.
And we have talked about it a few times, the word hangover. And that is what they don't want to have happen tonight. They played a great three games of the McPherson Invitational. They played a great game, the one before that, beating Andale, coming back and winning down at the buzzer. What they want to do tonight, get out in front, win this game early, go home, take 2 weeks off. Put their feet up on the couch.
Yeah, I know Coach Kinnaman's going to give them a couple days off after this game. It's been a pretty brutal pace. Four games in 6 days or 7 days, whatever. And they deserve the time off, that's for sure. This is a trap game. I know you talked about it yesterday, but this game really scares me just because McPherson and Newton used to have a great rivalry, one of the best rivalries in the state. Newton 5-7. They've lost some close games.
And they had a bad weekend.
They had
that Blue Stem Classic at El Dorado.
Yeah, did not play well at El Dorado. Went 1-2, beat El Dorado, and you know, most teams are going to do that. So,
well, all but two have done that this year.
Ty Berry, really, really good. Demarius Peterson, big 6'8", wide body. Bullpups have their hands full tonight, no doubt about it.
It will be a game where we see if they're a little bit tired from playing three games in a row and then taking 2 days off and getting right back at it. We still know there are some dings and everything on this team where people are still not 100% healthy.
Jake Alexander's ankle.
Let's hope that he gets to prop that foot up for the next 2 weeks and then be ready to go down the stretch. And we don't really want to look down the stretch too much right now. But when you look at what's going to happen in 2 weeks after this is over, they'll play Great Bend in their final non-league game when they come back on February the 6th. And then after that, five league games.
Yeah,
and then they're done.
The two road games in there, Buehler and Augusta. Well, we also have Winfield, and well, that's not a tough game. It's a long trip.
Sorry, Connor.
Buehler and Augusta will be tough road games for the Bullpups. That's for sure.
So once they get to that point, you play Great Bend, then you get through the league. This is not a coming down moment, because I think that those worked perfectly in the spot that they were this year, where most of those league games were played at the very beginning of January, that it was a good build-up to get ready for Andale, to get ready for the Invitational. And I think that's what they will be able to do again down the stretch in this month of February that they will be able to be the buildup for Substate. You get to see Buehler again. And then, obviously, doing your film and doing your scouting on Ulysses and Hayes. And probably by about the time we get to the middle of February, about 2 or 3 weeks out, they will have a good feel for what the Substate will look like in the bracket. They should know by that point probably who their first matchup will be.
Right.
And so these games will be very important to work out the kinks and everything, get everybody healthy, get everybody shooting the ball well. And that was something that we talked about yesterday that the Invitational does so well, is that you get to see different teams, different styles of play. That doesn't necessarily happen in league play. So you've got your experience behind you. You know how to win close games. You know how to come from behind. In these league games, coming down the stretch in February, it's how to put teams away early, learning how to play ahead, learning how to continue to find different ways to score, getting different guys' experience, because we saw how much that experience paid off this weekend.
And every game's important because you know Miege is probably going to be the number one seed.
They're still number one ranked even after losing to Mays this weekend.
Right, so they've only lost one. McPherson's lost one, of course.
I thought there was a chance,
you know,
that McPherson would jump them. I thought there was a chance.
Yeah, but, you know, they played head-to-head, and, you know, coaches – and Coach Kinnaman's the Raider, so let's just get that out there. He's not going to put his team number one. Well, he's got a big say in the ratings, let's just say that. But, you know, we want to be in the opposite bracket of Miege. There's no doubt about that at the state basketball tournament. So if both teams, you know, pretty much if they win out, I think the other teams are pretty well 3 and 4 losses probably.
What was Bonner Springs?
Bonner Springs.
And Wamego was 4?
Yeah, this week. So I'm sure those teams have at least 3 or 4, you know, 2 or 3 losses. So if McPherson does make it, Miege does make it, those teams will be 1-2 in some order. So every game's important. You want that 1 or 2 seed, that's for sure, at state.
And some people might be going, why is it a boys' game only down at Newton tonight? Well, the girls were supposed to have a girls' game only last Tuesday, but that got snowed out. And so the girls will make this up on Monday, February 5th.
So they'll play 2 games in 2 nights.
That'll be a tough break for them. But after that, they go through the same schedule. The girls' game against Newton. Newton's girls have been hit or miss this year, kind of like the boys. And so I think both games against Newton for both teams will
Newton be
good
Newton girls got
games.
A lot of talent, though. But the thing is, for the girls, compared to the boys, the girls ran roughshod through the league the first time. They weren't even tested. Circle was supposed to be a test. They beat them by 25. So the girls should have, you know, after the tournament, I don't know how they'll do in the tournament because we'll talk about that tomorrow. But
been doing my research on the Olathe South Falcons.
Yeah, the tournament's really tough. But after the tournament, the Bullpup should be able to run the table without much of a problem.
So the boys at Newton tonight, that'll start at 7. We will pick it up at about 6:40, 6:45 tonight here on 96.7 FM KBBE. Before we go, Steve, you've made the bold prediction that you think KU loses by double digits tonight down
That's
in
right.
Norman.
So I'm sure everybody's going to go out and bet that KU wins by double digits.
Fade that pick.
That's right. Since I got a feeling they're due for a clunker, and I think this is the clunker night against a really good OU team. And I think Trey Young, you know, he really is – he has gotten roasted the last couple games by the social media.
He made
experts.
A comment either today or yesterday that said, people forget I'm only 19.
That's right. He's only a freshman. I think he comes out with guns ablaze tonight, and I think he plays tremendous, and I think the Sooners play tremendous tonight.
Steve, what have I said all year?
Oh, I know. You've said all year it's KU until somebody finally puts the final nail in the coffin. KU will win the Big 12.
My money is still there.
There you go.
And it did not feel good in the middle of December.
It's not feeling good in several games this year.
It was not feeling good, but what they continue to do is win down the stretch. If it is a close game, when you hit that under 4 timeout,
Devontae.
You're not going to win.
It's Devontae Graham time.
You've got to beat KU before you get to the under 4.
Yeah.
When you get there and it's a close game, Bill Self is just smiling in that huddle, and he says, go win it.
And the other teams are just sitting there, how are we going to lose this game? We're in such good shape. How are we going to lose this game? So
that's
anyway,
the way it
that's
works.
Just, that's just my bold prediction of the day.
I think they find a way to win. For Steve Sell, I'm Jim Joyner. This has been According to Jim. We'll see you tonight down at Newton.
According to Jim with Jim Joyner was brought to you by Great Plains Federal Credit Union and Four Seasons Realtors. Make sure to listen to According to Jim every weekday from 1230 to 1 p.m. right here on 96.7 FM KBBE.